It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome everyone out there in Radio Land. I am George Williams, your host, and this is The George Williams Show. Our number here is 251-343-0106. You could send us a text at that number, or you can call in and let us know what's on your mind. For those who are outside our listening area, and you can pass this on to anybody who want to listen to the show, our internet call is fmtalk1065.com. So you have no excuse. You can reach us wherever you are in the world. Matter of fact, I have someone listening in Africa and South America right now, in Brazil. They are listening. So you can listen to us anywhere. And also the show is, you can reach our podcast starting tomorrow after the show, the following day. And you can listen to the show wherever you, whenever you want, okay? All right, folks, we're going to get right into some business. And this is what I would call a military night, okay? And with us, we have Lieutenant Colonel Marcus Young. And he is the Deputy Brigade Commander of the Army National Guard. Colonel, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, George. Thanks for having me on again.
All right, good to have you on. And Colonel Marcus, Colonel Young has been our guest before. So we're glad to have him on. All right, this is a military show, Colonel.
All right.
Tell the folks where is your command, and you're involved in two different activities now.
Right. Yeah. So on the National Guard side, I'm an active duty member with the National Guard. Right. Our unit is here in Mobile, Alabama. We're stationed out at Fort Whiting. So I like to affectionately say that we are the biggest, the baddest, and the busiest brigade in the state of Alabama.
Gotcha.
All right. So we've been involved in back-to-back-to-back warfighter events. We've even participated in Global Defender in Romania a couple of months ago. And now we're preparing for a mobilization to the border. So, again, we are busy, 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 but it's a pleasure being here with you this evening.
All right. Same here. And you're also involved in another outfit, which I'm also involved in, folks. And tell our audience a little bit about that.
Well, you know, and that's the purpose of me being here. And again, it's a pleasure to be in here to talk to your audience. But here representing tonight the MOA Association, which is the Military Officers Association of America. I'm serving as the president for the South Alabama chapter. So I just want to talk to your audience about what SAC MOA is, what we call it, what we're doing, and what we're looking for.
Right. Now, MOA is really a national organization, and each state has so many chapters, correct? How many chapters do we have in Alabama?
Right. Alabama has 13 chapters.
13, okay.
Right. So there are over 420 national MOA chapters. So, so the chapters are really at the local level, and then we have state councils, and then we have the national councils.
Right.
So, and each level, we're trying to just coordinate with one another to with one solid voice to our government leaders of the needs of the military.
Right. Now, we also have active and retired members, correct?
Correct. And what we're looking for, and I'm sorry, enlisted, sorry, sergeants and enlisted guys out there, we're looking for officers and warrant officers.
Right.
Whether they're National Guard, active duty, or reserve.
Right.
Whether they're retired, currently serving, or have just served and never retired. We're looking for any of those affiliations to be members. And I would have to put a plug in here as well.
Okay.
We're also looking for surviving spouses of military
officers. Right, that is correct.
Officers. So that's we have an auxiliary now that sits at our executive council that we want to make sure that we want to pull in the surviving spouses as well.
Right, right. Now, we have our meetings. What are the time frame for our meetings?
Yeah, typically they run on Wednesdays. We're do a lunch in the middle of the day, you know, so right. We do it at the Heron Lakes Country Club primarily.
Right.
We realize that we can't reach everybody during lunch. So this past month in August, we actually had a breakfast at the Admiral Hotel.
Right.
We'll have a dinner meal coming up in November. So we're trying to hit everyone at different times to try to attract and be available for potential members or members to join us.
Right. Now, we're that dinner that we're going to have, you know the date on that?
Don't have the date yet, but it's going to be in around the Veterans Day celebrations. You know, we used to call it the White Elephant Ball.
Right, that's right, yeah.
We introduced the veteran another year.
Right.
But, yeah, it's going to be at the Heron Lakes Country Club.
Okay.
It usually will start around 1730.
Yeah, there's some good food.
And some very good food.
Real good food. And guests can also come, right?
Yes. Yeah, so for those meals, yeah, you can bring your spouse with you. You can bring a guest with you. And in our luncheon meetings and our breakfast meetings, we usually have a guest speaker.
Right.
Different people. These are like the one coming up this month. He works in Senator Tuberville's office here in Mobile.
Right.
He's one of his military liaisons.
Right.
So he's going to speak to us about some of the things that Senator Tuberville has been working on.
Right.
It's not a political thing. It's just how it affects the military.
Right.
And so we'll be glad to have Mr. Hickenden with us.
Now, at a dinner a couple months ago, you had the ROTC. I love that.
Yeah.
The young.
Right.
Right. Tell us a little bit about that.
That is one of the things we love to do at MOA, SAC MOA. All the chapters do something similar.
Mm-hmm.
But here at SAC MOA, we love sponsoring the junior ROTC programs here in Mobile. So, yeah, we bring all of the ROTC participants from different high schools, and we give them awards. We give out a $500 scholarship.
Right.
We have dinner with them, and we're able to talk to the upcoming leadership of tomorrow.
Right.
And it gives some of us older guys and gals a chance to foster that with them.
Right. Now, we also have our officers in charge of the ROTC in different schools, correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And everybody knows Lieutenant Colonel Frank Barrow.
Yeah, the little guy.
Yeah, the little foot, 7 foot guy.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows him. He's been been around forever. But he's our vice president for our SAC Board chapter. And it's great having him on board because he's that direct contact with those youngsters, and we can get before him pretty easily with him around.
Right, right. So that, and I really enjoy that.
Yes.
You know, when those young people, and they're our future leaders.
That's exactly right.
They're our future leaders.
Exactly, exactly. And I said this during that meeting, is when we look around that room, and if we ever start to think that, man, what direction is our country going
in?
What this or that? And then I look at so many of those young, exceptional students, regardless if they serve in the military or not, where they are right now, they're doing great things. They're going to be leaders wherever they are. And it gives you a sense of hope in our youngsters coming up.
And these are young women and young men.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was really impressive.
Very much so, especially the officer or the cadet of the year.
Yeah.
That young man, he had several scholarships.
Right.
It's just amazing to see that we still have young people at that age that are still willing to give of themselves. They could be doing anything else in school, but they chose ROTC.
They chose ROTC. Yeah. And then during the Veterans Day, they'll be marching.
Exactly, yeah. And speaking with another one of our members, Commander Reem, my military unit on the National Guard side, we're going to be supporting that event as well.
Okay.
That's another event that we look forward to being a part of with SACMOA. It's supporting the military community.
Yeah, and that's going to be in Mobile on Veterans Day, correct?
Correct, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I love going to that.
Yeah, yeah. We have one of our Veterans of the Year been identified. We've got Joe Bonner. He's been selected for one of those, so we have another one that we have to select.
Great. For. All right, we're going to go into our first break. We got about a half a minute to go, and then we'll continue with you.
Okay.
Because we have a lot to cover, and I'm retired from the military, and I I really enjoy talking to young people about joining the military. Yeah. I think that is so important.
Yeah, it's so important to have responsible people a part of our organizations going in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, after you finish your military career, if you spend 4 years or 3 years, you get out, you have the GI Bill. That's how I went to school.
Right. Me too.
You too, right, under the GI Bill. Yeah. There are plenty opportunities and advantage. We'll be right back with Lieutenant Colonel Young.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. And we are on a mission. We are on a mission. And right now, we're privileged to have Lieutenant Colonel Marcus Young, who is the Deputy Commander of the National Guard Brigade here in Mobile. Colonel, we enjoy having you.
Yeah, well, thank you once again. I really enjoy, I'm going into my 35th year in the National Guard now, or the military, so I'm one of those guys looking at retiring here next year, but the military has been great to me. Mm-hmm. It affords so many benefits and opportunities, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity to take advantage of them, and that's the main thing that SACMOA and the MOA affiliates is what we work for.
Right.
And work towards.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. What else do you want our audience to know about MOA?
I learned an interesting figure a couple of months ago from the state MOA vice president.
Okay.
And Colonel Kilpatrick stated that the state of Alabama has somewhere in the north of 400,000 veterans in the state of Alabama.
Correct.
That is a huge number.
Right.
We went on to discover that around between 15 and 20,000 are serving right here in the Mobile and Baldwin County areas, whether they're family members or whether they have been serving.
Right.
So what we're looking for is we wanted to get the word out to these officers and warrant officers of whatever status that they were in and whatever branch they served in.
Right.
It's what's going on in MOA. We can't be 10 or 20 voices for 400,000 folks.
Correct.
We need membership so that we have all of us with the same voice petitioning to our state level, and the state's petition to the national level, then our national level chapter commanders or council commanders and council presidents are going before our government leaders and saying, hey, you wrote a check here for these benefits.
Right.
We want access to these benefits.
Right.
We want to make sure these benefits are sustained for the ones that's coming behind us.
Right.
You're retired. Mm-hmm. You've been a beneficiary of all these benefits. I'm looking at retiring very soon. My benefits are pretty much locked in, but we have members that are currently serving that don't realize that you have to fight for this stuff.
Correct.
And we have people who's previously served that didn't know that you're still afforded these benefits.
That's right.
So we want them to understand that there are things out there that the MOA organizations are working towards, and primarily is the benefits that we've earned, the benefits for our dependents of these serving members, and again, the surviving spouses are also afforded benefits. So we're fighting to sustain, maintain, and improve these benefits, and we do it best when we show the people that we're talking to, which this so happens to be our government leaders, that we're coming with a very solid membership, that we're all in it together, and it's not one or two people trying to fight the fight. This is 400,000 strong, if we could ever get there, of telling you that the state of Alabama, we want our veterans and our dependents and our spouses taken care of.
Right. Colonel, when I was on active duty, I was a recruiter. Tell our audience how, we're talking about officers now, how you can become an officer in the regular reserve and also the regular army and the reserve army.
Yeah, well, you know, hey, it goes with knowing your qualifications and eligibility. Obviously, if you're coming in off of the street and you want to be an officer, you got to have a degree.
That's right. Four-year degree, folks.
Right. For one officer, you can start with a two-year.
Right.
You got to have a what we call the GT score. Anyone who's ever taken an ASVAB knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
You got to have a 110 GT score.
Right.
We have all kinds of recruiting stations everywhere. Mm-hmm. You just walk right in and tell them what you want. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's always the online option as well. I'm going to default to the National Guard.
Right.
We're fill our ranks before we fill the regular army. But
You
know, Alabama NationalGuard.org, you know, you can get on there and see the listing of branches and the listing of jobs that are available. So
right. That's good. I know I became an officer after I got off of active duty, 8 years of active duty. Mm-hmm. I joined the New Jersey National Guard right there in Patterson, the 50th MP Company.
Wow.
And I was in school working on my degree, and I went through OCS, mm-hmm. and got my commission, and so it was fairly easy.
Yeah.
It was fairly easy.
Yeah, it's not very difficult. I'm like you. You know,
yeah,
when
you
I
and
went
I,
in,
same
I went in
situation.
As a PFC.
Right.
Same thing. I was enlisted for 14 years.
Yeah.
And my wonderful, beautiful wife said, you know, you need to go back to school.
Uh-huh,
and I said, well, you know, you may have a point because I paid that GI bill. I'm going to lose my benefits. I was like, yeah, I need to use them. So I go to school and get immediately commissioned in 2003.
Right.
And, you know, here's a young cat who started off as a PFC and has made it all the way to Lieutenant Colonel.
I went to
OCS at the state of Alabama's OCS program. So
you young folks, and another way of doing it is to go to ROTC.
Mm-hmm.
Once you finish your high school, ROTC, whatever college you go to, get involved with ROTC, and when you graduate with your four-year degree, you got your second lieutenant bar.
That's it. There's all sorts of ways, and I'm telling you, it's so wide open right now because the recruitment of talent we're recruiting against Fortune 500 companies, let's face it.
Everyone
wants the smartest, everyone wants the brightest, and we have to compete against them.
Right.
So, and one of the main things the military offers is something that some of these companies can't, is that, like you mentioned at the top of the show, you serve honorably 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever your enlistment period is.
Right.
You have benefits for life.
Right.
You have benefits for life as long as you serve honorably. And you continue to serve until retirement, where there's a whole other set of benefits that open for you.
Right.
So we want to let people know the military is still one of the most treasured and honored services that anyone could do.
True.
If I had a chance to do it all over again, I would do it probably just as it was done.
Right.
We want our citizens to realize that it takes the smartest, it takes the brightest, it takes the brave, it takes all those things, commercials that you hear.
Right.
but we need that.
That's true. And another way of becoming an officer, folks, warrant officer and officer, is if you have a professional ability. Let's say you're a lawyer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're a nurse. I think it's 2 or 4 year nursing degree. And there's some others where you get a direct commission.
Yes. I'm telling you, medical field,
dentistry,
it's wide open.
It's wide open, folks. You dentists out there and your nurses, you know.
I used to be the executive officer for our recruiting battalion in Alabama. So I'm not sure what the benefits are now for the recruitment, but there were times where you get a direct commission and they'll pay your school debt off.
Your school debt. That's true.
They were trying to attract those officers to the state.
Yeah, yeah. And those are called... Folks, those are called direct commission.
Mm-hmm.
Direct commission.
Direct commission.
So
you
know, you don't have to go through that 6 months, 8 months.
You don't have to go
to
basic training.
You know, because you have your profession.
Right.
They need lawyers, mm-hmm. Doctors.
Yes. Dentists. We need dentists. We need dentists.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a big one.
Dentists. Yeah. So there are ways of becoming officers. You've already got your career. You've got your, your certified doctor or lawyer or dentist, you know, eye doctor, what have you.
Right. And especially for the National Guard, it's that you continue to have your practice and then you just serve your weekend and then your summer or year.
Yeah.
And you still have your practice and you're still serving. And
that's
you get
true.
An entirely different experience.
Right.
Again, we just returned from Romania, and our doctor who went with us, it was her second time out of country, but that experience of caring for that many people is a whole lot different than her practice here in Mobile.
Right, right.
It's a totally different experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So we offer that as well. It's learning how to care for that many people in an austere environment.
Right, yeah. Because we used to, when I was in South Florida, 261st, we used to go to South America a lot, Venezuela and some of those other countries,
right.
Different projects. We used to help build schools and do all kind of things,
all
kind of
fun stuff.
Yeah, fun stuff. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah, life experiences.
Yeah.
You never get that anywhere else.
Yeah, I know. When we were going to Panama, you know, and I did a few ATAs in Panama. So it was, to me, it was fun. Mm-hmm. It was, and like you said, you know, you're a doctor here, and you still have your practice, but you're in the reserves, and then you get a chance to go to other parts of the world.
Yeah, and see a totally different thing. Our Global Defender in Romania experience was unique because we were about 76 kilometers south of the Ukrainian border.
Ooh, that's
so, you
right.
So obviously,
right.
People thought that we were escalating the war, but having to interact with actual mayors, having an interpreter speaking when we're speaking through interpreters, letting them know, this is a training event or whatever. But those types of experiences, you won't get that anywhere else, George. I'm telling you.
You won't.
You
won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you professionals out there, you have a professional degree and a job. Hey, you want to be in the military? Yeah. This is a way to do it.
Yeah, that's a place for you.
This is a way. Yeah, there's a place for you, and you won't be giving up your practice or anything.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And on the backside, we have Moa that's fighting for your
business. Yeah, Moa is here. So come to our Moa meetings, and be our guest. And we have a website, Colonel.
Our next meeting is going to be September 13th at the Heron Lakes Country Club, 11:30. That's our next meeting.
Okay.
I will tell, the quickest way, I feel bad about saying this, our webpage is all kind of messed up.
Okay.
The best way to get to us is moa.org.
Okay.
And you'll see the SACMOA is one of the drop-down selections.
Moa.org.
And if all else fails, you can email our secretary directly, Phil Gabriel, at contactdxd@aol.com.
Right.
Yeah, contactdxd, David X-Ray David, @aol.com.
All right. Now, we got about a half a minute before the break. You want to stay on the other side? You have other info for our audience?
Well, that was what we want to give your audience, is to make sure they knew about MOA and SACMOA and what we're doing.
Okay.
We're fighting for benefits for military serving, previously served, retired, and spouses and dependents.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, folks. Lieutenant Colonel Marcus Day, Young.
That's right.
Young. And he's a fantastic guy. And give us a call. Give him a call. You know, look him up on the website.
Yes.
All right, Colonel, we appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, George. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to the George Williams Show, and we are on a mission. We appreciate Lieutenant Colonel Young from MOA, the president of MOA. And listen to what he said, folks, especially you professionals out there. If you want to get involved with the military and don't have to go through boot camp like we did, or officers candidate school like we did, this is a good way to become a military officer. They give you like 3 weeks or a month orientation. okay? And you will enjoy it. You will definitely enjoy being in the military, and you don't have to worry about that Marine Corps boot camp like I went 2 weeks after John F. K. got shot and killed. I was in Marine Corps boot camp down in Parris Island, South Carolina, folks. But it's a little different today. You don't have to worry about that. And get involved and come to our MORE meeting on the 13th. Come to our MORE meeting and our luncheon at Heron Bay Golf and Country Club. You can be our guest, okay? Be my guest. Come there on the 13th. So that's what we have. And we appreciate Colonel Young coming in and telling us about it, what's happening in the Alabama National Guard. He just came back from Romania. I mean, you get a chance to go all over the world. And we have a detail that'll be going to the border. So Alabama, we send people all over. You know, it's really, really, really fantastic. All right. Let's see what we're going to do now. I think we're going to listen to Dick Morris, folks. He's got a very important message relevant to what's happening today. Here he is, Dick Morris.
Happy Labor Day. Everybody else has off, but I'm working. But it's a pleasure because the news I have to tell you is very wonderful. There is a buyer's remorse setting in that is helping to propel Trump to a significant lead over Biden. In McLaughlin's survey 2 weeks ago, he found that 1 in 10 Biden voters from 2020 said that they would vote for Trump in 2024, 10%. And only 2% of the Trump voters said they would vote for Biden. That 8-point gap really accounts for the entire margin that Trump has over Biden. We have two experiences side by side, only a few years apart. And the voters who went for Biden are now reconsidering, and a significant number of them are coming over to vote for Trump, which is very, very good news. So truly, happy Labor Day.
All right. And I forgot to say that, too. Happy Labor Day, folks. I spent yesterday enjoying my brother's wife's cooking. She's a fantastic cook. So I went over there to eat, and it was fun. It was fun and tastes very good. And you know I brought a doggy bag home, okay? And I'll be eating that later on tonight. So happy Labor Day, everybody. All right, Dick Morris, he talks about what's happening. The Democrats are trying to put all kind of phony and fallacious information out regarding Biden and Trump if they were to run against each other. And now, Biden's disapproval rating is almost 70%. How the heck is he going to be a presidential candidate? Okay, we know that over half the Democrats don't want him to be their candidate, and personally I think the Democratic candidate is going to be Newton from California, Governor Newsom. That's what I think. Okay, they definitely do not want Joe Biden. I mean, this guy is you know, it's pitiful. It's pitiful that he seems lost, folks. And it's not his fault. It's a medical condition. It's not his fault, okay? But I blame the Democrats who are allowing him or pushing him to do this. Our vice president, where is she? Who is she? Where is she? It is totally unbelievable that we have a vice president that they're trying to hide her in the basement. Okay? You never hear anyone talking about the vice president running for president? Nothing. Zero. Okay? Normally, you would hear that in a situation like this. Now, on the Republican side, we have a former Vice President Pence. I don't know why he's running, folks. And my former governor, when from New Jersey, because I lived in New Jersey, I left here as a boy, and we moved to New Jersey. And Chris Christie, I think that guy's, he's got a problem. He's got a problem. His thing is totally against Trump. Totally against Trump. Okay? And some of us believe that he is like that because Trump did not choose him to be his vice president running mate. That's what Chris Christie wanted, from what I heard. And once Trump didn't do that, he became very angry and very resentful, and he started getting on Trump. Now, I can say one thing about Crispy. When he was the attorney general and then the governor of New Jersey, he did a good job. Did a good job. But he is not presidential material, okay? He is definitely not. The next debate, Philip, you know when that debate
sure.
is?
Yeah,
I'm hoping Trump will not go to it and will not participate. He said he wouldn't, so that's good. I don't think he needs to go. I don't think he needs. America knows him. They know what he could do. He had four fantastic years, in spite of all the lies that the Democrats spread on this man, and what they're doing today, folks. It's criminal. It's criminal. And if you look at Afghanistan, those folks who made those decisions should be in jail. They left billions of dollars worth of equipment. And look what's happening in Afghanistan. Now the women can't go to school. They don't want them to go to school. Now they're saying they can't travel outside the country. Okay? This is what's happening. And now they have billions of dollars worth of equipment that we left. What a goof by Biden, by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Secretary of Defense. It was criminal what they did. Criminal. Okay? So this is the situation, and believe what Dick Morris say, folks, because this man knows what the heck he's talking about. He knows. He knows. Other news is about McCollum, who is the deputy head of the Senate. You know, he's a Republican leader in the Senate. He's 81 years old. I wish that he would, retire. He's been there a long time, folks. Okay? And I heard today that the doctor said there's nothing wrong with him. How can a doctor say that when on two different occasions he's holding a press conference, he just stop and stare? There's something got to be wrong with you. But the doctor said there's nothing wrong with him. This happened twice. He just stopped, he's there. There's something neurologically. I'm not a doctor, but that's what I heard a doctor say, neurologically. So I think he should, prepare to retire. Retire. I am an advocate, folks, of term limits, okay? Not only on the federal level, but on the state level and on all levels. There should be term limits for mayors, for governors, for legislators on both the Senate and the House side. There should be term limits. I don't know how we can do it because what the situation is now. If we want term limits, they would have to be the one to vote for it. And they're not going to vote for it. They're not going to vote for it. So what do we need? We need new constitutional convention to pass that law. So I advocate we somehow or another, okay, that we have a continental convention to make it into law. Because I don't think the Supreme Court can do it, from what I heard. I wish they could, okay? But I don't think they could. Now, you know Congress and the Senate can override the Supreme Court. A lot of people don't know that. But they could be overridden. Their word is not final. Create a new law and that would override the Supreme Court. That is what I've been told. What I've been told. So, I don't know, folks, but the situation in our country is so bad. Nobody have respect. I'm talking about on the foreign environment for America. Okay? If former President Trump was in office, Putin would not have invaded Afghanistan. China would not be doing what they're doing. Okay? And speaking of China, is our audience aware that China keep buying up property in America? I don't think foreigners should be able to buy property in the United States because you can't do it in their country, folks. You can't do it in their country. Now we're hearing that China has been buying property around military bases. Okay? And not only China now. The Russians are buying a lot of property in America. The radical Muslims are buying property in America. Okay? They should not be able to buy property in America. They should not be able to. And they have a lot of money. China, most of those government countries are run by most of those civilian companies in China are run by the government, okay? They have spies in every country, and they have control of them. So all of those Chinese countries, the government tells them what to do. And it's like that in Russia, too. It's like that. In the Iranian countries, it's the same thing. Same thing. So this is what is happening in our country. And I've had so many people asking me, what the heck is going on? What the heck is going on? When you have a weak government, folks, a weak government, you have chaos. And you could see it now, especially on our foreign environment. And also domestically. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks. We are back, and we are on a mission. We're on a mission. Now, some of you know this, but and some of you don't, but on Sunday, I was on Newsmax as a guest on a panel, and it was very interesting, and it was mainly regarding the importation of fentanyl, okay, and the epidemic as a result of our folks, especially young folks in our high schools and our colleges and other institutions, they're using this stuff. Some of them don't know about it. And we're having a lot of emergency room visit, and we are also having a lot of debt, okay? And I talked about that, and they talked about the medicine that they give to folks who are having, who are on or ODing on this stuff. And I thought about in the 70s when I was a federal agent in New York City, and we had the heroin epidemic. And during that time, they started, in lure of the, to try and get these heroin addicts off of heroin, they started administering methadone. And they had methadone clinics all over the place. And folks, as a result of these, and if you were right around New York where these clinics were, and they were, they let you know where they are, and you see folks lining up to get methadone. And what did methadone do to those folks? It created additional addicts. And they found out that methadone was addictive. So I don't know about the medicine that they're talking about now. Will it be similar to the 70s? I don't know, but I know methadone didn't work. Okay? So, and you're talking about fentanyl. Where does fentanyl come from? The precursors of fentanyl comes from mainly from China. There are a couple countries that it comes from, okay? So it's going into Mexico and Canada. Not just Mexico, but Canada too. Canada have the most relaxed borders that you ever want to see. Canada, and from what I was told, and Mexico, they don't need visas to go there. So you get a lot of folks coming into South Mexico, going up to Canada, and they're walking across the border legally. Okay? Because from Canada, you don't need a visa to come to America. So in the northern area, the northern border area, there are folks coming in. And a lot of them are coming across the northern area now because we have troops, we have law enforcement at the southern border, even though under the Biden administration, it is horrible. It is horrible. So China, why aren't we putting sanctions on China? Why are we not being tough on Mexico? Okay? President Trump did. President Trump did. He told Mexico, if you don't stop the folks from coming across this border, you're going to be paying tariff, you're going to be doing this and that. And they did, folks. But Biden has an open door policy. So it is criminal what this administration is doing to our young people. And I think that the fault should be with the Homeland Security Secretary and the Vice President, because she's supposed to be in charge of the border. I think she went to Corpus Christi one time. Okay? It is criminal what they're doing to our young people. And I call it a conspiracy. You're talking about Georgia talking about a criminal enterprise. That's what's happening with our government. Continuing criminal enterprise. Okay? Continually. Because we have more and more people dying every day from fentanyl. And guess what? The penalties are nothing. For possession of fentanyl, there's a slap pat on the wrist, folks. That's all it is. It's more deadlier than heroin, than crack cocaine. Just a little bit, a couple of granules is enough to kill a person. Two, three, or four, five person. So why are they not doing anything? And tell me something. Where are you Democrats? Why aren't you telling your president, your administration, to do something about fentanyl. And but you know what they're doing, folks? They're leaving it on the back of the school teachers, the school administrators. Oh, you guys do something about it. What are they doing, the Democrats, to stop the dying from fentanyl? What are they doing about it? Zero, you Democrats. Zero. Zero. At least our governor in Alabama, Kay Ivey, and some of the other governors are sending troops down to the border to help out. You heard the colonel just talk about that, to help out at the border. Do you hear any Democrats telling the Democratic governors to send troops? Do you hear the mayor of New York or the governor of New York sending troops down to the border to help stop the dying as a result of fentanyl and them not doing anything? Do we here in Alabama hear our Democratic congresswoman saying anything about stopping the flow of fentanyl from coming into Alabama? No, you don't. The Democrats are quiet on it, folks. You have a few Democrats, but majority of them. You ever hear Schumer talk about, the president and the Senate talk about fentanyl and plugging up the border and putting sanctions against China and Mexico for allowing it to come into America? No, I don't think so. Philip, do you hear? Did you hear? No. And Philip is very good about the news, let me tell you. Nothing, folks. They are part of this grand conspiracy, this continuing criminal enterprise that allows fentanyl to flow into America and flow into the bodies of our, especially young people. Our emergency rooms are full of patients. Our undertakers are busy. Because since the Biden administration come into office, they've doubled the death rate for fentanyl. And that's not to mention the other drugs. Crack, which is cocaine, is coming through Mexico. Okay? And a lot of it is coming through Nigeria with their couriers. Okay? It's coming down through Canada. So you think about it. You think about all of these drugs that are coming into America. And the Democrats don't talk about it. Oh, they talk about political. They talk about Trump. They talk about, getting so many congressmen elected or senators. Okay? But they don't talk about the debt as a result of their ineptness. Okay? What they're not doing to stop the flow of that killer drug, fentanyl, and cocaine, and heroin from coming into the country and killing our young folks. So you Democrats should be ashamed of yourself. Shame. You're just as guilty as those traffickers who are bringing it into the country because you're doing nothing about stopping it. You're just as guilty. And I call it a big Democrat criminal enterprise. That's what I call it. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. We'll be back next week. Until then, Vaquan Dales, everyone.